in the back. If you do not receive emails from it or sudden windstorms in our life at various times and in varying degrees. You know, we sometimes go get our taxes done and then surprise, we owe how much? Our car breaks down and we're out of time and treasure. But then what we're experiencing now with the coronavirus, sudden job loss, serious illnesses, loss of family members, you know, quarantines, reduced attendance, all of us have been affected in one way or another because of this. A great windstorm has arisen. Sudden terror or sudden storms have prevailed. We have our phrases, I think, go back to with some lesser storms. We sometimes say, oh, well, if something happens when it rains, you know, it pours. Yeah. Or if it weren't for bad luck, we'd have no luck at all. Then there's Murphy's Law. You know, if anything can go wrong, it will. Then it has the corollary to it, and at the worst possible moment. Here's the text again. He began to teach by the sea. Great multitude were gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. The whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And he taught them many things by parables. Then there's several parables listed in the text. Then in verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, all day long, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. That phrase will have some significance in our lesson. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, meaning Jesus. Other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. The waves beat into the boat. It was filling. But he was in the stern, meaning Jesus, asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? So then he arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly. They said to one another, who can this be? And that even the wind and the sea obey him. Then they came to the other side of the sea. Several lessons we gain from this story. Number one is that there's a probability of storms in your life and mine. This one happened, I think, at an unfavorable moment. And sometimes it seems like the storms in your life or mine come along right when we didn't need them. See, Jesus, no doubt, is tired from the teaching of the day. Taught them many things by parables. The disciples were listening to Jesus' teaching, and at the same time, they had difficulty understanding what was taught. That was in verses 33 and 34. Can you imagine listening to me all day? Don't answer out loud. And now it's evening, and their eyes are drooping. Now, my eyes get droopy in the evening. Some of you have droopy eyes right now, and I've only been preaching 5 minutes. But yet at the day's end, and now they decide after all this long day, let's make a trip across the sea. Oh, no. More work. And then there's these other little boats that are coming along. I'm not going to get any rest yet. So now we're going to have to, after this long day, we're going to have to row or set sail. It's more work. I was hoping for smooth sailing, but it didn't happen. So sure enough, after this long day of being with Jesus and the multitude, in verse 37, a great windstorm arose. The waves beat into the boat, and it was already filling. I don't need a storm in my life right now. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, Matthew records it, and suddenly, that's our word, sudden storms, suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. The storm, someone said, had hurricane and earthquake steps. Wow. For those disciples and for us, we will experience some sudden storms, unexpected terror, trouble. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." Right. "But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." See, in life, we are either heading into a storm, or we are in a storm, or we are emerging out of a storm. Something's going to happen in your life and mine. So how are we going to respond when we call in our lesson today, when that big one comes? Of course, sometimes even the lesser ones can seem big. So the probability of storms in our life is point number one. Number two, the presence in the storms of our life. I've heard people ask in the midst of trouble or trial or storms, they say, "Where is God in this?" Of course, the answer comes from our text. He's in the boat with us. And so remember the familiar Psalm 23, verse 4, that shepherd's psalm. Verse 4 is, "Yea, though I go," and the key word, "through." I'm go through. "The valley," oh, valley. "Shadow," where's the sunshine? "Death. I'll not fear any evil." Why? "Because thou art with me." Where's God in the midst of a storm? He's with us. He's in the boat. In Psalm 46, beginning of verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." That's right. I'm not going to be afraid. "Thou art with me." In Hebrews 13, verse 5, "For he himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So there's a presence in the storm. The disciples are going to learn a lesson that you and I need to learn too. We haven't learned it already. See, we can find ourselves following Jesus and be in the middle of the storm at the same time. Some brethren or some people believe that faith is some kind of insurance against storms. That if we stay on God's side, we're not going to have any trouble, but that's not what the biblical message is. See, sometimes storms are not punishment for lack of obedience. Sometimes and oftentimes they're the result of obedience. In the world you will have tribulation. In Matthew chapter 7, very familiar story. Verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever hears these words of mine and does them," right, here's someone that's on God's side, "he'll be likened to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Oh, good. Got a solid foundation. But the rain descended. The floods came. The wind blew and beat on that house. You think we're exempt from storms just because we're on God's side? We strive to do His will? No. But then Jesus said, it didn't fall. It was founded on the rock. In verse 38, it says Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Well, that's a wrong conclusion. You can make that statement, but it's not true. But sometimes that's what people think. We're perishing. We're in the midst of a storm. We have sudden, unexpected terror. Where's God in this? Doesn't he even care? Matthew chapter 8, verse 25 records the disciples saying it this way. The disciples came and woke him saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. They went to the right place. In Luke, when he records it in Luke 28, verse 24, they woke him saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. In other words, we're in trouble here. Could you help us? Don't question the care and the concern of God when we're going through a storm or sudden terror. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your care upon him. He cares for you. He cares. So number one, there's a probability of storms in our life. And second, there's a presence of storms in our life. Number three, the peace in the storms. The peace. Verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. See, on this occasion, the storm ceased. However, the question comes to you and me, what happens if the storm does not cease? It lasts. Chris, God reminded me a couple weeks ago of a phrase I used in a lesson. Said, sometimes God calms the storm and sometimes he calms me. And Chris repeated that to me back in the parking lot. Sometimes God does both. Phrase I use every once in a while, when you can't change the circumstances, you change your attitude. Sometimes things won't change. In Psalm 56, verse 3, whenever I'm afraid, sudden, unexpected storms. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. You see, there's a peace in the midst of the storm. In Isaiah 12, verse 2, God, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Peace in the midst of a storm. Number four, there's a purpose to learn when storms take place. In verses 40 and 41, Jesus said to them, go teach a lesson. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you had no faith? And Luke 8 and verse 25 says, he said to them, where is your faith? That's what he means when he says, how is it you have no faith? In other words, where is your faith in the midst of the storm? So Jesus' question and the lesson he's teaching with those questions is that we are being reminded of our own inability and God's ability. What God can do. And over and over, when we realize we have no power, the storm should move us closer to him, meaning Jesus and God. There's a song in our book. We don't sing it very often. It's hymn number 546. And the title of the song is When the Storm Passes By. When the storm passes by. When storms happen, Jesus wants to take away the fear and establish the faith. And that's many times the purpose of the storm. And when the disciples asked that question, or when Jesus asked the disciples that question, why do you fear? Where is your faith? Jesus is teaching a lesson. I want to take away the fear and establish your faith in the midst of the storm. In Psalm 119, verse 67, Psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Lord, when everything was going great. But now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. In verse 71, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Really? That I might learn your statutes. Purpose in the storms. It's interesting too. The disciples concluded in verse 41. It says they feared exceedingly. Well, Jesus just said, why are you so fearful? But interesting with this phrase, they feared exceedingly, and they said, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's interesting now the word fear is used after the storm has stopped. Now they are fearing exceedingly, not because of winds and waves. Those things have been taken away. Now I think what we have is astonishment. They are in awe. There's a wow factor. Who is this that can do this thing? Oh. So now they're realizing Jesus is greater. He's more fearsome or to be feared than the wind and the waves. They feared exceedingly. Who can this be? Wow. The last point is the promise. If you gain nothing else from the lesson, this point here, this one, the promise for the storms in our life. Remember how the story began? Jesus said to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. You know how the story ends? Chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side. The lesson is, if Jesus names a destination, it's certain that the disciples will arrive there. It may be a difficult or stormy ride, and it was in the story that we've read this morning. Unexpected storms, unexpected terror. But still the lesson is, get in the boat, make the journey, travel with Jesus. In other words, become a Christian. Yes, there will be tribulation in the world, but we will also reach the other side. For us, the days ahead are uncertain. I don't know the content of the days ahead, and I don't know the count. I don't know how many I have left. But I know the destination. Jesus said, and I'm going to close with this one, in John chapter 14, beginning of verse 1, said, let not your heart be troubled. That's a great introduction. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If Jesus names a destination, it is certain that you and I, the disciples, will arrive there. The story began, again, I will say, let's cross over to the other side. Unexpected storms. They came to the other side. I don't know what kind of storms you and I will experience. I know the one we're in now. But I know if we put our, there's a peace that can be ours. There's a peace that is ours. And we put our trust in Him. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. But I know when the journey is ends, I will be on the other side. In my notes, I was looking at Elaine here. I remember years ago, I don't know if Carol told me this or Robbie, you did, but I think it was either while Buster was in his last days or shortly after the funeral. But Elaine said, it had to be before, because she said, Buster, you wait for me. Buster, wait for me. That's right. On the other side. That's our hope. That's the promise. The last point.
So that's why at the close of a lesson, you know, let's stand together and sing a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. And we're pleading and praying. And once you've heard that good news gospel message and you believe it, you're willing to turn your life around God's side. You're willing to confess your faith before witnesses that are gathered here. You can be baptized. Then rise to walk in newness of life. Now you're in the family of God. Forgiven of sin. Hope you have the hope of heaven within. Other blessings on that one action. And then we grow. So that's the invitation. If you're subject to it, if you haven't accomplished that, you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, step aside me, and at the end of the song, I'll just ask you.